Welcome to Zichud Daf Simani. My name is Avram Goldar, and today we're Sechur Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches that the word orla so, his foreskin, is coming to exclude several cases in which performing meal on Shabbos is not permitted. One of the cases is one who is born mahul, circumcised. Now brisa states that Beis Shammai holds that one who is born mahul still requires a tafas dam, the drawing of blood, whereas Beis Hillel does not. Rashi explains that Beis Shammai requires a tafas dam because perhaps the baby has an orla kavusha, a suppressed orla. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that a child born mahul requires a tafas dam. They disagree in a case of a ger who converted when he was already circumcised. Beis Shammai requires a tafas dam and Beis Hillel does not. In this case, there is no concern of an orla kavusha. The tafas dam here represents the symbolic act of entering the bris. Point number two, Rabbi Asi stated a rule. Any newborn whose mother becomes tamei due to childbirth is circumcised on the eighth day. While any newborn whose mother does not become tamei due to childbirth, for example, a woman who had a cesarean birth, is not circumcised on the eighth day, but rather on the first day. He learns it from the juxtaposition of the pasuk Isha ki sazria v'yalda zachar v'tama, when a woman conceives and gives birth to a male, she shall be tamei, with the pasuk Yom Hashmini Yemo Basar Laso, and on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And point number three, a brice is brought to discuss is when the meal for a baby Eva Kanani is performed, and distinguishes between a Yili Bais, a child born to a Shivcha who is the property of a Jewish master, and a Mikne Kesev, a slave that was purchased. According to the Tanakhama, if one bought a Shivcha who was pregnant at the time, and she later gave birth to a boy, this is a case of a mikne kesef that is circumcised on the eighth day. If one bought the shivcha and her child along with her, then this is a case of a mikne kesef that is circumcised on the first day. If one bought a shivcha and she became pregnant while in his possession and gave birth, this is a case of a yili bais, a slave that is born in the house, who is circumcised on the eighth day. The Gemara later on discusses the fourth case of yili bais that is circumcised on the first day. Rav Chama disagrees and has a different understanding of these four cases. So once again, the three topics are number one. The Gemara brings a brisa that teaches that the word orla so, his foreskin is coming to exclude several cases in which performing meal on Shabbos is not permitted. One of the cases is one who's born mahul, circumcised. The brisa states that Beis Shammai holds that one who's born mahul still requires a tafas dam, the drawing of blood, whereas Beis Hillel does not. Rashi explains that Beis Shammai requires a tafas dam because perhaps the baby has an orla kavusha, a suppressed orla. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that a child born mahul requires a tafas dam. They disagree in a case of a ger who converted when he was already circumcised. Beis Shammai requires a tafas dam and Beis Hillel does not. In this case, there is no concern over orla kavusha. The tafas dam here represents a symbolic act of entering the bris. Point number two, Rabbi Asi stated a rule. Kol she'imo tamei aleda nimo l'shmona, any newborn whose mother becomes tamei due to childbirth is circumcised on the eighth day. While any newborn whose mother does not become tamei due to childbirth, for example, a woman who had a cesarean birth, is not circumcised on the eighth day, but rather on the first day. He learns it from the juxtaposition of the pasuk Isha ki sazria v'yalda zachar v'tama, when a woman conceives and gives birth to a male, she shall be tamei. With the pasuk v'yom hashmini yemo basar laso, and on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And point number three, a brice is brought that discusses when the meal for a baby Eva Kanani is performed and distinguishes between a yilid bais, a child born to a shivcha, who is the property of a Jewish master, and a mikne kesef, a slave that was purchased. According to the Tanakhama, if one bought a shivcha who was pregnant at the time, and she later gave birth to a boy, this is a case of a mikne kesef that is circumcised on the eighth day. If one bought the shivcha and her child along with her, then this is a case of a mikne kesef that is circumcised on the first day. Then if one bought a shivcha and she became pregnant while in his possession and gave birth, this is a case of yilid bais, a slave that is born in the house, who is circumcised on the eighth day. The Gemara later on discusses the fourth case of yilid bais that is circumcised on the first day. Rav Chama disagrees and has a different understanding of these four cases. All right, so now we go to our Simfru Kuf Lamed Hey, and the number one suggestion was definitely a kala. And I might have gone for that, if not for the topics we're covering on this daf in this entire parak. So then we had Hulk came in a lot. We had Claws also came in. But I'm going to go with the other popular suggestion, which was Cola, Coca-Cola. So Cola is going to be our simon for Kuf Lamed Hey. So thank you, everybody, for your simanin suggestions. So here goes. The cheap kosher brand cola, served in abundance at the Hatafas Dam for the child-born Mahul, was left over from the first day C-section bris for the cute little Eva Kanani baby. Once again, in slow motion. The cheap kosher brand cola, that must be more in Daf, Kuflamet Hey. The cheap kosher brand cola, served in abundance at the Hatafas Dam for the child-born Mahul, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches that the word orla so, his foreskin, is coming to exclude several cases in which performing mila on Shabbos is not permitted. One of the cases is one who's born Mahul, circumcised. The brisa states that Beis Shammai holds that one who is born Mahul still requires Hatafas Dam, the drawing of blood, whereas Beis Hillel does not. Rashi explains that Beis Shammai requires Hatafas Dam because perhaps the baby has an orla kavusha, a suppressed orla. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that a child born Mahul requires Hatafas Dam. They disagree in a case of a ger who converted when he was already circumcised. Beis Shammai requires Hatafas Dam, and Beis Hillel does not. In this case, there is no concern of an oral kavusha. The Hatafas Dam here represents a symbolic act of entering the bris. So the cheap kosher brand cola, served in abundance at the Hatafas Dam for the child-born Mahul, was left over from the first day C-section bris, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi stated a rule, kol she'imo tamea leida nimo l'shmona, any newborn whose mother becomes tamei due to childbirth is circumcised on the eighth day, but kol she'ein imo tamea leida ein nimo l'shmona, while any newborn whose mother does not become tamei due to childbirth, for example, a woman who had a cesarean birth, is not circumcised on the eighth day, but rather on the first day. He learns it from the juxtaposition of the pasuk, Isha ki sazria, v'yalda zachar v'tama, when a woman conceives and gives birth to a male, she shall be tamei, with the pasuk, ubi yom ha'shmini yemo basar laso, and on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So the cheap kosher brand kola, served in abundance at the Hatafas Dam for the child-born Mahul, was left over from the first day C-section bris for the cute little Eva Kanani baby. Which reminds us, a brice is brought that discusses when the meal for a baby Eva Kanani is performed and distinguishes between a yilid bais, a child born to a shivcha who is the property of a Jewish master, and a mikne kesev, and a slave that was purchased. According to the Tanakhama, if one bought a shivcha who was pregnant at the time and she later gave birth to a boy, this is a case of a mikne kesev that is circumcised on the eighth day. If one bought the shivcha and her child along with her, then this is a case of a mikne kesev that is circumcised on the first day. If one bought a shivcha and she became pregnant while in his possession and gave birth, this is a case of a yilid bais, a slave that is born in the house who was circumcised on the eighth day. The Gemara later on discusses the fourth case of yilid bais that is circumcised on the first day. Rav Chama disagrees and has a different understanding of these four cases. So once again, the cheap kosher brand kola served in abundance at the Hatafas Dam for the child-born Mahul, was left over from the first day C-section bris for the cute little Eva Kanani baby. Now it's time for a four blah back Hazara. Kuf Lamed Aleph. So the sin for Kuf Lamed Aleph is a jail cell, a kella. So here goes. The inmate in the jail cell, that must be Moran Duff, Kuf Lamed Aleph. The inmate in the jail cell who ate two loaves of bread daily, which reminds Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Ezer did not hold Makshiri Mitzvah Dokens of Shabbos, that the preliminaries of a mitzvah override Shabbos restrictions in regards to all mitzvahs. It's evident from the fact that he learns that the Makshiri Shtei HaLechem, the preliminaries to the mitzvah of offering two loaves on Shavuos, override Shabbos restrictions from a Gezer Shava from bringing the Omer, where the Makshiri Mitzvah of reaping, grinding, and sifting the barley for the Omer are Dokenes of Shabbos. Rashi explains that if Rabbi Eliezer held that Makshiri Mitzvah Dokenes of Shabbos in regards to all mitzvahs, why would he need to learn that the Shtei HaLechem overrides Shabbos restrictions from a Gezer Shava? We see from here that he does not apply his leniency universally. So the inmate in the jail cell who ate two loaves of bread daily tied tzitzis and wrote mezuzahs, which reminds the Gemara seeks to find the mitzvahs that Rabbi Yochanan came to exclude when he said that Rabbi Eliezer does not permit makshiri mitzvah for all mitzvahs. After determining that Rabbi Eliezer does hold makshiri mitzvah dorkenes haShabbos applies to the mitzvahs of lulav, sukkah, matzah, and shofar, the Gemara concludes that the two mitzvahs that are excluded are tzitzis and mezuzah. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, and some say he said in the name of Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, the tying tzitzis and writing a mezuzah are not permitted on Shabbos, hoil b'yadil hafkirat, since one can renounce ownership of his garment and house, in which case the mitzvahs connected to them are no longer incumbent on him. Since such a potential exists, the Torah does not permit any chil Shabbos for their performance. So the inmate in the jail cell, who ate two loaves of bread daily, tied tzitzis and wrote mezuzahs, dreamed of the day when he'd be free to shake lulav in a sukkah, eat matzah, and blow shofar. Which reminds, the Gemara determines that the four mitzvahs of lulav, sukkah, matzah, and shofar all have a unique feature, which precludes the possibility of learning out from one another that Mekshirim Mitzvah Dorchins HaShabbos. Luv involves four meaning. Sukkah is fulfilled both in the day and at night. Matzah is a mitzvah that applies to women as well. The blowing of the Shofar Rosh Hashanah, Machneses Zichronas Shel Yisrael, Lahavin Shebishamayim, brings Yisrael's remembrances of their father in heaven. And the Shofar blown in Yom Kippur of Yovel causes the release of Jewish slaves to their homes and ancestral fields revert to the original owners. Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. So the symbol Kuf Lamed Beis is a club. So here goes. The passwords again to the clubhouse. Clubhouse, that must mean one Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. The passwords again to the clubhouse were Os, Bris, and Doros, which reminds us the Gemara seeks the source that Bris Mila is Dochas Shabbos. The Gemara rejects three separate Gezeres Shabbos connecting Bris Mila to Shabbos through the words Os, Bris, and Doros individually, since each one appears by other mitzvahs as well. The Gemara then brings Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who says that since only Bris Mila and Shabbos share all three words, we can learn a Gezeres Shabbos that Mila overrides Shabbos. So the passwords again at the clubhouse were Os, Bris, and Doros, whenever the 8th day Mila occurred on a Shabbos, which reminds us Rabbi Yochanan brings an alternative source that Bris Mila is Dochas Shabbos. The Pasuk states, Uviyoma Shmini Yimol Basar Laso, and on the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. The words Biyoma Shmini, on the 8th day, implies that the mitzvah Mila should be performed on the 8th day, even if the 8th day is Shabbos. So the passwords again to the clubhouse were Os, Bris, and Doros, whenever the 8th day meal occurred on a Shabbos, for a Metzorah. Which reminds us, the Gemara states that the mitzvah meal overrides the Tzaras prohibition of cutting off any whitish spot that indicates Tzaras on the skin. Meaning if one had a negative Tzaras on the place of the Mila is still performed. The Gemara seeks the source for this halacha and brings a brace that states, Yemo Basar Laso, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. The extra word Basar teaches that even though a Behar spot, which is a type of tzaras, is on the orla, it should be cut off. The pasuk Hishamer Benega Tzaras, take heed concerning the affliction of tzaras, which is the source for not cutting off a nega, applies in all other situations besides for Bris Mila. Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. So the symbol for Kuf Lamed Gimel is clogs. So here goes. The Dutch moil with colorful depictions of the carbon Pesach and Bris Mila on his clogs. Clogs, that must be run Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. The Dutch moil with colorful depictions of the carbon Pesach and Bris Mila on his clogs, which reminds Rav Yudah said in the Rav that the lachas of Rav Akiva's klal, the kol malacha she'efshel lasos me'erev Shabbos, eina derches haShabbos. Any malacha that can be performed erev Shabbos cannot push aside Shabbos restrictions. He states that the lachas of Rav Akiva by Mila, and he states this in regards to carbon Pesach as well. The Gemara says that Rav Yudah needed to teach that the lachas of Rav Akiva in both cases. If he had only taught that the preliminaries for Mila do not override Shabbos, one might think this is because not fulfilling the mitzvah does not involve an issur karis. But by carbon Pesach, with which one receives karis, if one doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, one might think that the preliminaries do override Shabbos. And if he had only said that the lachas of Akiva by carbon Pesach, one might have thought that specifically the preliminaries for the carbon Pesach do not override Shabbos restrictions. But in regards to Mila, with which 13 bristles were made over the mitzvah, perhaps Shabbos is pushed aside. Therefore, Rav Yudah taught that the lachas of Akiva in both cases. So the Dutch moil with colorful depictions of the carbon Pesach and Bris Mila on his clogs was so relieved he didn't invalidate the mitzvah, which reminds him the next Mishnah states, Osin kol tzarchi Mila b'Shabbos, we may perform all the needs for Mila on Shabbos, and then proceed to list various needs, such as Priya, the uncovering of the crown, Metzitza, the drawing of blood, and bandaging. The Gemara asks what the Mishnah meant to include when it stated, kol tzarchi Mila, all the needs of Mila, given that the Mishnah's list seemingly included everything. The Gemara answers by bringing a brayse that teaches that as long as one is involved in the Mila, Chozer ben al-Atzitzin ha-ma'akmin as-a-Mila, ben al-Atzitzin she'en ma'akmin as-a-Mila, he may return to the shreds that impede the validity of the Mila and to those that do not invalidate the Mila as well. This is what the mission was coming to include. The brayse concludes that once one withdrew from the Mila because they thought it was complete, he may only return to the Tzitzin that invalidate the Mila, not to those that do not. So the Dutch moil, with colorful depictions of the carbon Pesach and Bris Mila on his clogs, was so relieved he didn't invalidate the Mila, because he loved to beautify mitzvahs. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa that the pasuk Zeh Keli Vanaveyu, this is my God and I will beautify him, implies Hisna'i Lefanu B'mitzvahs, beautify oneself before him in the fulfillment of mitzvahs. For example, one should make a beautiful sukkah, a luv, shofar, tzitzit, sefer Torah, and write using a beautiful ink, a beautiful pen, an expert scribe, and wrap the Torah in beautiful silks. Abishol says, Va'anaveyu hevi domilo. The word Va'anaveyu implies to be like him. Rashi explains that Abishol understands Va'anaveyu as a contraction of the words Ani vehu, I and he. Ma'u chanun v'rachum, af atah yeh chanun v'rachum. Just as Hashem is gracious and compassionate, so to you should be gracious and compassionate. Daf Kuf Lamed Daled. So the symbol for Kuf Lamed Daled is a cloud. So here goes. The cumin-colored cloud. Cloud, that must be more Daf Kuf Lamed Daled. The cumin-colored cloud, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brice that states, Devarim she'in osin l'mila b'Shabbos, osin l'b'yantav. Things that we may not do for mila on a Shabbos, we may do on a yantav, such as crushing cumin and vigorously mixing together oil and wine. The Mishnah earlier forbid these two actions be done on Shabbos. Abai asked Rav Yosef that just as it's mutter to crush cumin on yantav because it's permitted to do malach on yantav, if it's for the purpose of eating, so too it should be permitted to vigorously mix oil and wine on Shabbos because it's fit to be used for a sick person. Rashi explains the Gemara is referring to a chol she'ein bo sakana, a sick person who is not in danger, since any malach can be done for a chol she'esh bo sakana, a person who is dangerously ill. So Rav Yosef answers that the Brice is dealing with preparing medication for sick people, which doesn't require vigorous mixing. Our Mishnah is addressing preparing medication for a mila, which does require vigorous mixing, and therefore it's forbidden to do on Shabbos. So the cumin-colored cloud gave the infant a yellowish hue. So they decided to delay the bris, which reminds us, Abai shares many pieces of advice that his adopted mother gave him regarding treating infants with various ailments. The final piece of advice was that if an infant whose body is a reddish hue, it's because the blood is not absorbed into his flesh. Rashi explains that his blood is located between the skin and the flesh, and the child might bleed to death from the circumcision. Therefore, one should wait to perform the circumcision until his blood is absorbed in his flesh. Similarly, if an infant's body has a yellow hue, it's due to the infant being blood deficient. Rashi explains that this condition leaves him very weak with the risk of death from the circumcision. Therefore, one should wait until the infant is full-blooded and then circumcise him. So the cumin-colored cloud gave the infant a yellowish hue. So they decide to delay the bris just as they were sprinkling hot water on the baby by hand. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces Malchokas regarding bathing an infant before and after Mila. The Tanakhama holds Marchitzin as a katan. One may bathe an infant in hot water on Shabbos, both before and after the Mila, and Mazalfin al-Biyad of Lobakeli. And he may sprinkle hot water on the infant by hand, but not with utensil. Rabbi Elazman Azariah says Marchitzin is a katan. We may wash the infant on the third day following the Mila if it occurs on Shabbos, for it stated regarding the Bnei Shechem, Yibiyom HaShlishi B'yosim Ko'avim, and it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions of Sechus Brachas. Number 1, which stuff do we learn that the mitzvahs of Lulav, Sukkah, Matzah, and Shofar cannot be learned out one from the other? That's on Duff. Kuflam et al. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we learn when to give a bris to an Eved Kanani baby? That's on Duff. Kuflamid Hey. Good. Number 3, which stuff do we learn that the second source that Mila is Docha Shabbos comes from the Pasuk B'Yom HaShmini? That's on Duff. Kuflamid Beis. Good. Number 4, which stuff do we learn that Mila is Docha Tzaras? That's on Duff. Kuflamid Beis. Good. Number 5, which stuff do we learn Rabbi Asi's opinion that a baby born through a C-section has Mila on the first day? That's on Duff. Kuflamid Hey. Good. Number 6, which stuff of Machlok is about a tough as dumb for a child born Maul? That's on Duff. Kuflamet Hey. Good. Number 7, which stuff we have a Machlok is regarding washing a baby before and after a bris? That's on Duff. Kuflamet Daled. Good. Number 8, which stuff we learn when one can be Machal Shabbos for a woman after childbirth in the 3 different stages? That's on Duff. Kufchav Tes. Good. Number 9, which stuff we learn the Rabbi Yehuda does not apply Makshiri mitzvah dochen is a Shabbos of the mitzvahs of tzitzes and mezuzah. That's on Duff. Kuflam et al. Good. And number 10, which stuff do we learn on Malchokas whether one can be Machal Shabbos for tzarche mila? That's on Duff. Kuflam et. Good. And now the 3 bonus questions from Sechus Brachas. Number 1, which stuff do we learn the 2 sources for making a zimun? That's on Duff. Memhei. Good. Number 2, which stuff the Malchokas whether a Kriyashma is a Dereis or a Derabanan? That's on Duff. Chafalov. Good. And number 3, which stuff do we discuss the Bracha and Orez on rice? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin. Great. That concludes our pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions of Masechus Brachas. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning. The Gemara later on discusses the 4th case of Yelid Bais that is circumcised on the first day. Rav Chama disagrees and has a different understanding of these 4 cases.